from SLB Radio in Pittsburgh, Crossing Fences. African-American boys and young men creating oral history showcasing the lives and accomplishments of local African-American men.
I grew up here in Homestead and grew up in the steel mill days, so a lot of steel mills.
Flesh and blood principalities, battle over spiritual policies, thinking that the one is going to follow.
We were responsible for our community. You know, we say we need help, but we got to learn how to help ourselves.
A lot of people who are pioneers and icons who got us to where we are today because they used their brains. If they used their fists, we would never have heard about them.
From anesthesiologists to barbershop owners, entrepreneurs to engineers, and coaches to deacons, over 170 men have been interviewed. Today, let's hear from John Brewer, age 67 at the time of this interview.
Life for me in Homewood was a wonderland. It was adventure here. There were challenges here. Every day I used to come down to the corner of Braddock and Frankstown, and that's where the car barns were located at. And I used to run through the car barn garage, and the workers would scream at me and throw wrenches at me. But it was a training ground. It was like four blocks of fun. Homewood was well integrated. It was Italian and Irish and African Americans. So it was not uncommon that I would hang out with an Italian kid named Archie. The school grounds, like Crescent School, had great fields. And we used to play football on the fields and play soccer in the fields. We always were looking for another place to play. Homewood Park also had a large field and had a basketball court. Finally, after a lot of things that happened in the city, they got their own swimming pool. Westinghouse really offered a pretty good education. Certainly, a lot of people tried to say that we were more sports orientated than we were academic orientated, but there were some very good teachers here at Westinghouse. And so if you wanted to apply yourself, the teaching was available. I remember having a very strong math teacher who spent some time with us. Probably the most prominent teacher that I remember that had an effect on me long term was Mr. McLean. He was the English teacher. And Mr. McLean, I remember coming to his class one day, and I was kind of a sports jock, you know, and I walked in, I was kind of arrogant. And I sat down, and Mr. McLean said, "Okay, Mr. Tough Guy, I want you to show the class how do you do these verbs and these nouns and these adjectives. You know, what is that?" Well, he had me stumped. I didn't know what to do. So after class, he sat me down, and he told me that, you know, he was not impressed with sports careers. He was impressed with people who use their brain. And he really spent a lot of time showing me how to study English, how to be more analytical, be more questioning. And so as a teacher, I don't think you get that kind of teaching many times a day. He went well beyond his responsibility of teaching me English. He was more concerned with was trying to change my attitude about reading. And he put me into a very interesting writer by the name of James Baldwin. And James Baldwin had written a book, and I read the book, and I was very inspired by the book, and he really turned me on to the written word. So I began to understand power that was not necessarily on how strong you were in football and how many people you knocked down, but power was the power through the word. So in my opinion, Westinghouse had it all together in terms of teaching. Quality of education was good. When I was a kid, pretty much similar to what kids are today, that they wanted to be professional football players. I met Jim Brown in 1961. I was all-city and most valuable player in the city, and I went to a banquet. And at the banquet, the head speaker was my hero, Jim Brown, who played for the Cleveland Browns. And I took a picture of him, and I stood next to him, and I was like 5'8", about 190. Jim Brown was like 6'3", or 6'4", 230. I felt like Minnie Mouse compared to him. I looked at his size, and I asked him questions about making it to the pros. And he kind of told me, he said, "Well, if you really have that desire, you have to begin to look at reality. You know, one out of 10,000 players makes it to the pros in football. Maybe one out of 50,000 makes it to the pros in basketball. So that made me start thinking about other career opportunities. Probably one of the largest impact in my life was my father. My father was first black principal in Pennsylvania in 1955. He was an educator down the Hill District. He was All-American football. He had a twin brother, so I had the distinction of having two of them hanging around. My father set the stage for me to learn and to become more responsible about who I am and about facing manhood. Influence people that are around you, other youth that are around you who are doing virtually little with their lives to take a step up. I know a lot of youth are afraid to communicate to their brothers and sisters about them doing wrong things, but you know, the old people can't save you. Only you can save yourselves.
This oral history was collected by youth interviewer Hezekiah Moore. Crossing Fences is made possible by the Heinz Endowments and was produced by SLB Radio Productions. Learn more at crossingfences.org.